pleasing God. Now, you know the Bible said the heart is desperately wicked. And boy, you don't never know. How many of you ever heard somebody in church get up and say, if I know my heart, my desire is to serve the Lord? You ever heard anybody say that? We've all heard people say that. Well, the truth is you don't know your heart. You think you do, but the Bible said the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you know who can know it? The Lord only. You don't even know your own heart. I know that's a slam, and it's a put down to us, but we ought to be, because we get to thinking we're good. Listen to me now, y'all. Don't talk. When you need to get it in your mind that you are. I didn't see all of that program last night, but I saw Charles Manson diddle-diddling around in there. And if that ain't the pitifulest feller I've seen in ages. And I think, man, how could somebody get shape he's in? And then I start thinking, my heart and his heart are made out of the same stuff. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I could do anything he's done. And so could you. Our hearts are something else, buddy. And so tonight, I want to show you seven hearts that please God in the Bible. Look at Proverbs 18:15. Now, you feel free to ask me anything you want or interrupt me during this study tonight, because I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to show you some scriptures through here and look at it. The heart of man, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. If we want our heart to please God, I want to show you seven of them that do that. Okay? The first one I want to show you is the tender heart. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. I'll show you a heart that pleases God. Number 1. This heart is the tender heart. I've heard people say, well, oh, so-and-so, I like them because they're tender-hearted. And that's a good way to be. That's a heart that pleases the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Now, wouldn't that be good if we could all obey that verse? Be kind one to another. All you folks that are married, you know, and you get grouchy and hateful, and you smart off at your husband, and you smart off at your wife, and next thing you know, you're just biting each other's head off. Next thing you know, you're grouching at the kids, and, whoa, gone! Like the Bible said, be kind one to another. Be kind. It's easy to get put on an act and be kind when company comes, or something like that, but the Bible said, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. And according to that rest of that verse, tender-hearted must mean forgiving another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That means next time you start getting real mad at your mama, I can't wait till I get old enough, I'm going to run away, and all that stuff. The Bible said you be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, because remember, God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And before you get too hard-hearted on somebody, you better remember the Lord wasn't that hard-hearted with you. I've heard people say, well, how could you possibly forgive somebody for something that they've done to you? And the answer is, because look how many times God's forgive us. What if we come crawling up to God and asking forgiveness and the Lord said, all right, I'm tired of fooling with you. I ain't forgiving you no more. We'd be in trouble. But because Christ has forgiven us, God, for Christ's sake, then we ought to be tender-hearted. We ought to pray every day that God will keep our hearts tender. You know what we are? We'll forgive somebody once. And then sometimes if they cross us again, we might forgive them that second time. Maybe on your jaw. But buddy, that third time, that's it, right? I ain't a forgiving them, no. That makes the third time they've done me wrong. They've stole money from me or they've done this. No, sir, I'll never forgive them to the day I die. Well, what did the Lord say? 70 times 7. That's always been a hard scripture, ain't it? 70. How many people knows what 70 times 70? 490 times in one day. And then if they do it another, you start all over again the next day. 490. 400. If thou be trespass against thee, and turn and say, I'm sorry, thou shalt forgive him. Two times in one day, forgive him. three times in one day, forgive him. You go up to 339, 340, 341, 402, 478, 490 times in one day, and thou shalt say, I forgive him. The 491st time, you knock the devil out of. No, they ain't nobody going to sin against you over 490 times in one day. Now listen, that's something, you know it, buddy. I can't handle that. Can you? I can't live up to that. There ain't no way. And don't you sit there and look at me like you're so spiritual that you're going to forgive somebody 490 times in one day. I don't know if any of us in here tonight have reached that place where, you know, I'd like to see somebody do you wrong 490 times in one day. That's if you're only up 12 hours, that's what, 40 over 40 times an hour. That, every 90 seconds. My soul. Every 90 seconds for 12 hours, somebody do you wrong. You ain't even got time to get over it. You do it again. Well, the Bible said, be ye tender-hearted. A tender heart pleases God. A tender heart pleases God. Don't forget that. Now remember, that pleases the Lord when you've got a tender heart. You know what our day, the philosophy of our day is, I ain't letting nobody run over me. I'm standing my ground. I'll tell you what, I've worked hard for what I got, and I deserve this, and nobody ain't taking no lip off nobody. That's our generation. Bible said, be kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Anybody got a question on that first heart? What you need about a tender heart? Now, there does come a time when you got to take your stand. I mean, that don't mean you're supposed to just stand there and let somebody break in your house and steal your young'uns and tear up your home and all that. You know, you're supposed to blow their head off if they try something like that. But I'm talking about you as a person, somebody doing you wrong, have a tender heart. Anybody got a question on that? No questions. Nobody in here has a tender heart. Everybody in here got a tender heart. Okay, that's a heart that pleases God. Number two, the perfect heart. Turn to 2 Kings, way back in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 20. And I will show you what you say, oh, Brother Danny, nobody's got a perfect heart. Well, let's see what the Bible says. 2 Kings chapter 20, way back yonder in the Old Testament, and look at verse number 3. 2 Kings chapter 20, and verse number 3. In those days, Hezekiah was sick, boy, and he's about ready to die. And he was praying here and getting on with God. And he said in verse 3, I beseech thee, O Lord. Now, 2 Kings 20, verse 3. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah, Lord. Now, let's think about this perfect heart just for a minute. Do you believe... Don't you think, surely, if a guy in the Old Testament could walk with a perfect heart, we in the New Testament, circumcised, the Holy Spirit living in us, part of the body of Christ, could walk with a perfect heart? Sure we can. Sure we can. I didn't say we did. I said we can. It's how bad do we want to. Now, make sure you understand what the Bible means when it says a perfect heart. It does not mean you walk in sinless perfection before God and never sin. It means your heart is perfect toward God. Now listen, folks, it's real important you get what I'm getting ready to say. This is real important in your Christian life. God knows how many times you fail and you fall and you mess up. But I want to tell you something else. Bless your heart and bless the Lamb of God. He knows our heart. He knows our heart. God knows our heart. You know what? I believe that there's people... Now, make sure you don't take this wrong. I believe that there's people who are not here tonight that their heart is more right with God than some of you that are here. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't believe anybody should ever lay out of church. I didn't say they would. I believe that there's some people's got so much bad family problems. Maybe they have to work to keep their young'uns from starving to death, and their heart's killing them because they can't be in a Wednesday night service. And the only reason you come is because your wife fussed at you and made you. Or your mom and daddy made you. Or, you know, or something. You're afraid I'd notice you wasn't here or something like that. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. The Lord knows why you do what you do. And sometimes the Lord will see you. You may be running at 75%. And people say, well, so-and-so ain't doing so good, but God may be looking at you seeing 100% because He knows your heart. Your circumstances may have you so tangled up you can't do what you want to do, but God sees that heart and He knows you want to be perfect. He knows you want to be on fire. He knows you want to be a soul winner. He knows you don't ever want to miss a service. He knows that you want your whole family in church. God knows your heart, and that's a person that's got a perfect heart with God. I think a person with a perfect heart with God is a person that their heart is on God, their mind's on God, and when they fail, it makes them miserable. And they may sin, and circumstances may be like what they want, but the whole time they're crying out saying, oh God, I don't want it to be this way. Oh God, I want things to be right. Oh God, I want you. God, I believe that's what David had, a man after God's own heart. And if you've got a heart like that, you ought to praise God for it. Because a lot of people, they're just looking for a way out. A lot of people just looking for excuse to quit church or not to do right. First time, boy, they finally find something wrong. Yeah, I know there's a bunch of hypocrites and I quit. But if you've got a perfect heart with God, you ought to thank the Lord for it. If you ain't, you ought to ask Him to give you one. He said, I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. A perfect heart is a mature heart. It's a heart that wants God, that thirsts after the Lord. That's a perfect heart. Any questions on the perfect heart? Any comments on the perfect heart? Somebody asked me the other day, they said, what do you think God meant when He said David was a man after God's own heart? And I said, I believe that David had a desire to be just as right with God as he could possibly be. And David's heart was God's heart. I mean, he just gave it to God. All right? Number three, turn to Psalm 34. And we'll see another heart that pleases God. And this is a broken heart. Psalm 34. This ain't talking about a broken heart of somebody out yonder in the bar somewhere, broken hearted because their lover left them and sitting there getting drunk, you know, whining about it. It's a broken heart toward God for sins. A broken heart. Look at Psalm 34 and verse number 18. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord... Here's the way you know God's pleased with this kind of heart. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know how to get God to get real close to you? Have a broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, when you got saved, your heart was broke. When you really get right with God is when your heart gets broke. When you really become a soul winner is when your heart gets broke. When you really get things in touch with God is when your heart gets broke. Now, God will let stuff happen to you to break your heart. Not because He's trying to be mean, but because He knows when that heart gets broke, boy, He can get up close to you. You want the Lord to get close to you? Get rid of that old hard heart. Let that heart be broken. We wonder sometimes why God lets us have things happen to us that breaks our heart. And that's why. So He can be near us and use us. And we can be a tool in His hand. And a potter couldn't use that clay until he broke it. And then he could use it and put it together. And God can't use you until you're broken, brother. If you're stout-hearted and full of pride and you can do it and you got it all together, God can't use you. But when He breaks you, when you get a broken heart, God can use you to help other people. How many of you ever been really prayed about something, and it didn't bother you too bad, and finally you just got tore up and brokenhearted, and it seems like when you got brokenhearted and got down to pray, the Lord just moved in on you. You know what I'm talking about? The Lord is nigh them. That's a heart that pleases God, is a broken heart. Sometimes I think it'd do us good to fast. I know that lots of you are fasting in these days for our present distress, and you're praying that God will deliver us and all of that, and I appreciate it, but... Do you notice when you fast, the next time you pray and the next day, it just feels like, boy, your prayers just zoom up through the ceiling and through the sky and go, just you get a hold of God, seem like so much easier? Have you noticed that? Every time I fast, it seems like you break through a little bit more with the Lord. I've, of course, been fasting some, and I'm sure a lot of you have too. We have a lot of people who's agreed to fast one day a week, and we need it as a church, and I, you know, as an individual preacher, and you need it. God, may be working in all these things to get all of you in a position where we can keep a broken heart. I'd rather us have problems and keep a broken heart so sinners could keep being saved, as I have for us not to have any problems and the church get cold and dead and satisfied and the Spirit of God depart, wouldn't you? So I'm, whatever it takes. Now, personally, I'd rather not have the problems and have the blessings. But the reason we can't have that is because we won't pray and fast when we don't have problems. If we judge ourselves, the Lord wouldn't have to knock us down. But if you'll pray and fast, I'll tell you how to keep from having a lot of trouble in your life. Pray and fast and wallow around in the floor and scream and beg God when nothing ain't going wrong. Don't wait till one of your kids is dying in the hospital or something terrible. Your home breaks up or you have a car wreck or your mama's in the hospital with cancer. When everything's going good and it's a beautiful day and you'd like to go to the mountains and see the leaves, lay around and beg God all day to help you and have mercy, and you'd be surprised how much trouble you could save in your life. Because if you don't, you're going to have to wind up doing it over a terrible problem. So, take your pick. But the Lord's nigh them that are of a broken heart. And anybody want to say anything on the broken heart? Can anybody give us an illustration of how that you got brokenhearted and the Lord just helped you? Yeah, I remember that. Amen. Amen. Like one day being 5 years. I never knew that. But I tell you what I do remember. I remember early up there in the old building one morning. We met to go on visitation. I don't even know if you remember this or not. And we was up there and we was taking prayer requests. And she just almost started crying. And she said, pray. She was asking prayer for Tater. And she said, I don't know how much more I can stand. Pray that God will just take me or him one or do something. And she was almost at the end of her rope. I don't know if you remember saying that or not. But I stand there thinking, oh, Lord, she sure is that poor sister, the terrible time she's having. And when you get at your wits' end and you get to the place where you just can't go no farther, and, buddy, I mean you're at the end of your rope, that's when you'll find out that God's still on the throne, he's real, and he will answer your prayers. Now, it's a shame we have to get that shape to find that out, but, buddy, I tell you one thing, I heard an old saying or seen something somewhere, and it was real good. It said, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. And God will be there pretty soon to deliver you. Broken heart. Anybody else? All right, the next heart. This will be what, number 4 or 5? Is the pure heart. Matthew chapter 5. That just gets you under conviction even saying that. Pure heart. Something inside you says, are you kidding? Blessed are the pure in heart. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. They shall see God. We realize, generally speaking, we're in the millennium here, but I tell you something, that thing talks to us. Blessed are the pure in heart. How long's it been since your heart been pure? And I want to say something right here. You just think I've done quit teaching and gone to preaching and meddling. You think I've done quit teaching and skip preaching and gone to meddling. But it's my personal conviction. I'll speak for all the men. I ain't never been a woman. But I'll speak for all the men. I don't believe that you can fill your head with the garbage on Hollywood, on TV, and just anything and everything that comes over that tube and have a pure heart. I don't believe you can do it. And if you tell me you do, I'd say you're a liar. You can't pour salt and pepper in the same thing. You, brother, I tell you something. You can't listen to the devil preach 2 hours every night and keep a pure heart. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Because most people who watch TV 3 and 4 hours a night read the Bible about 5 minutes a week. And you can't keep a pure heart. And I doubt if you ladies can. I ain't been a woman, but I doubt if you can either. And so You blessed are the pure in heart. It's going to take some effort these days to keep your heart pure. You say, well, I don't even have time to watch TV, Brother Danny. Yeah, but you go to work and all you hear is junk, 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 junk. Everybody at Baxter, everybody at East Marion, everybody at Cleanfield running around on their wives, running around on their husbands, talking about partying, who got drunk this weekend, who was out with somebody's husband. And I tell you something, folks, we're living in a sewer. It's filthy. And you don't just keep a pure heart just floating through, not ever trying. It's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some Bible reading. And, you know, you may be sitting back there saying, oh, Brother Danny, you're overreacting. Don't bother me a bit. Well, I think one or two things are wrong with you. Either you're lying or you're mighty, mighty naive and gullible, and the devil just got you tricked and you don't even realize it. If the devil ain't never bothering you, he's got you. You and him going the same way, and you don't even realize it. The reason the devil never bothers some of y'all is because you don't ever do nothing that upsets him. You know, you and him walking down the same road. If all these guys run down the football field and you're running the same way they are, you ain't going to get hit. You start running the other way, you're going to get hit. So if you want to keep your heart, set aside a time every day when you read that Bible and pray. If you don't, your heart's going to be dirty. And it's going to be real hard for you kids that go to school not to have a dirty heart. But God, you hear me? God won't bless you, young people, if you got a dirty heart. When you get up to sing that youth choir, you make sure you ain't got a dirty heart. And say, God, get the junk out of me and cleanse me and help me. All right. It's a pure heart. Anybody got any questions or comments on the pure heart? All right. Next. The open heart. Acts chapter 16. Turning your Bibles to the right there a little bit. Number 5 is the open heart. We'll write quickly here and finish up so we can have choir practice. Acts chapter number 16. And this is a heart that the Lord opened. Acts chapter 16. This lady, I've always liked this scripture. Acts 16:14. A great verse. We ought to pray that the Lord will do this. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you ought to pray that the Lord will do this through you. If you're a preacher, you ought to pray the Lord will do this through you. Acts 16:14. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. I was thinking of Lydia there when I said that. Which worshiped God, heard us. When she heard them preachers whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. My desire is when I preach, somebody will be listening. And while they're listening, the Lord will open their heart. If that happens, it doesn't matter what kind of education I got. If that happens, it doesn't matter how my words come out. If that happens, it doesn't matter how much knowledge I have of Greek and Hebrew. If when I get up to preach, if God opens people's heart, boy, that's the greatest thing could possibly happen. It's the open heart. You ever been in church sometime, and the preacher's up preaching, and you was about half bored? About that time, the Lord got in that thing and started opening up your heart. That's the open heart. And I think there's a difference between having an open mind and an open heart. I think you better be careful about having an open mind. People say, just have an open mind. You better be careful about that. That's the devil. But when God opens your heart, that's when he wants to get in. Okay? Anybody got any questions about that? An open heart. Number 6. The steadfast heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Turn over to your right there to 1 Corinthians 7. And you see this happening in other places in the Bible, I think. I just want to give you just this one verse to show you there was such a thing. 1 Corinthians 7:37. 1 Corinthians 7:37. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. There's a guy who's got willpower. There's a guy that's steadfast in his heart. He's saying, my mind's made up. My heart is fixed. Like David said back there in Psalm, I've got my foot on the rock. I've got my hands on my hips. I've got my knife in my pocket. I've got my whatever, all them things. My mind's made up. Now, that's what a steadfast heart is. A steadfast heart is a heart that does not quit when the going gets tough. Amen. Sunday school teachers, you need a steadfast heart. Church member, you need a steadfast heart. When the devil's tempting you to do other things rather than serve God, you need a steadfast heart. A preacher, you better have a steadfast heart. You can't stand up and preach to people and then them see you out, down and out and backslid and living like a devil, because you're going to ruin everything you've ever said when you got up and preached or testified or whatever. You've got to ask God for a steadfast heart. Anybody got any questions on that? Steadfast heart. Boyans are quiet tonight. All right, the last one. The trembling heart. Let's just go back a couple of chapters to chapter 9, 1 Corinthians 9. Well, there's another scripture I think in the Old Testament would probably give this one better, but I'll just read 1 Corinthians 9, 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I should myself should be a castaway. Back in the Old Testament, I believe it talks about a trembling heart, a heart that fears God, brother, a heart that don't get hauled and puffed up and that says, hey, I could fall too. And before we point our fingers at somebody who's backslid and out of the will of God, we'd tremble before God and say, man, that could be me. That could be me. Next time you go on visitation and you visit a backslider and you go over and visit that old boy who used to be in here and used to maybe be faithful, maybe used to sing in the choir, used to be in the bus ministry, before you come back criticizing him, saying, how could a person do something like that? You thank God, number one, that it's you who were visiting instead of you who needed to be visited. And you better thank God that he, by his grace, has kept you out of the same mess. And tremble. Have a trembling heart before God. Anybody having questions on that? Any questions or comments? All right, those are seven hearts that pleases God. The tender heart. The perfect heart. The broken heart. The pure heart. The open heart. The steadfast heart. And finally, the trembling heart. And if you have those, if you get all those things in your heart, you'll have a heart that pleases God. All right, let's bow our heads.